as we're getting in our Bibles and turning to Genesis chapter number 32. I want to say again, thank you to everybody for praying for Jameson and Grayson a second time, their second time go about. We had a little joke going in our house, I think it was yesterday, but they started sounding a little congested. And, you know, we get a longer day and we're trying, you know, keep them not congested. And Sarah, y'all know me, I'm just open with everybody. Sometimes it's probably, I don't know, hopefully it doesn't gross y'all out. But Sarah has this little device that it's not the, like, ball sucker, you know, where you put the tip in the nose and suck it out. But she has this thing where it's connected to a tube. And you put that tube in their mouth, and then she puts another piece in her mouth. Or she puts the tube in their nose. And then she just starts sucking all the snot and junk into this tube. And she's told me over and over, like, there's a filter. And I see the filter. Like, you can see it right there. There's, like, two different areas. There's, like, a cap. And it's just only enough for air to get through. But I told her, I'm... Now, you know, just talking about faith, I don't have enough faith in that little filter. Like, I'm sorry. I don't. Like, I will help change diapers. I'll help do anything. But I am not fixing to suck snot out with my mouth. That's really gross. Amen. That's really gross. So I had her buy me one of these so I can help out a little bit more. But hey, they're doing better. And I thank y'all for all the prayers. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 32. And verse number 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." I'm just going to read one quick verse in another scripture in Deuteronomy chapter number 2. Deuteronomy chapter number 2. We're going to be reading verse number 3. And I'm aware there's a lot going on before and after, but I'm going to fit this. It's going to fit into what I have here for y'all tonight. And it says, "Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward." You have compassed this mountain long enough. That is the area that I want to focus on. And just for a little while here tonight, I want to preach to you the chains of addiction. The chains of addiction. If you'll put your Bibles down and help me pray that God will move in a powerful way here tonight. Oh, God, we need you, Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, glory to God, glory to God. God bless you. God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. So I wasn't going to start off with this story, but as I just keep thinking, I'm going to go ahead and tell the story. But when I was about, so this personal story, all my family knows about what I'm about to talk about, especially with the title of addiction being in my title. But when I was about 14 or 15, I had a serious video game addiction. And I would wake up really early. I would play games. It came to the point that as 14 years old, I would set my alarm for 6 a.m. So that already is really weird for a 14-year-old. No 14-year-old is going to want to wake up at 6 a.m. But I would set my alarm for 6 a.m. Now, a lot of this, what I'm going to tell you, like I said, they all know. But I do not, this is not good at all. I was in a very dangerous place. So I do not condone what I did at all. And I would set my alarm at 6 a.m. And at 6 a.m. I would go to the living room. My dad would already be at the church next door praying. And I would break open my Bible and I would go to Psalms 100. Because in Psalms 100, there's only five verses. And about 99% of them, 100% of them are extremely short in like 1 to 2 sentences. So I would finish that really quickly because it got in a habit to where my mom would come out and she would see me already playing video games. Her first question would be, oh, so you're up already, but have you read your Bible today? Have you even got your nose in the Bible? And so I learned that and I got to the point where I could now tell her, yes, I have. I sure have woke up. I've read my Bible. And there was even certain times I dropped on my knees to pray and be like, thank you, God. Thank you for the day. I love you, Lord. Amen. And then I would turn around and I would play video games until she kicked me out of the house. Typically, that would be, you know, during the day when guys actually need to get outside and play. But it came to the point where I would try pouring water over my head and running really fast, turning really red because I have asthma, you know, hardly sucking in air, to where I would try to get past to come inside and play more games. And then I would stay up late until the wee hours of the morning. I remember a handful of times to where I would stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning and then turn around and set my alarm for 6 a.m. once again. It was a terrible habit. It was an addiction. You'll see as we go along later in the message that everything about that shows it was an addiction. And then I remember where it really broke and stopped is there was one time I went to Heritage. And I was standing in the front, you know, and the preacher was preaching, and he was preaching a very good message. And, you know, when he gets, you know, when you're at almost any conference, you know, they get to go, and you got all these wild young men coming to the front and like, preach, preach. And I was one of those. Well, the pastor who was preaching started saying, I've got a young man in my church who plays video games 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day. And I remember, you know, I had all my friends around me. We were up there together, and I just hear all my close friends and the entire crowd of like 1,500, 2,000 people go, what? Oh, my goodness. And then my friends next to me started going, nerd, stinking geek or whatever. And I'm like, honestly, that's child's play. Like, that 8 hours a day is not that much. But from that point forward, when I went home, I don't think I touched my game for weeks and weeks. And then I would play really seldomly. But it was an addiction, a serious addiction that I had. It was an addiction that had to be broken because as we go along, you'll see, when we started having church, we lived right next door. And I would go over to the sanctuary and we would have church. And as soon as church was over, I'd go to the other young people, you know, and I'd talk to them. And 9 times out of 10, I'd probably start talking about the game I was playing again. And then I'd be like, all right, hey, I'll see you. You're going to be online tonight. And then I'd take off. And I would be one of the first ones out the door because I had to go play my video games. I had to go play. And it even came to a point where I would get up during the times where Texas started heating up. And I would start slowly but surely sneaking the gaming system because I got grounded because I made a bad grade in school. And so I would slowly start sneaking my gaming system into a duffel bag. And then on top of that duffel bag, I'd put a towel because we would go swimming during the warmer times in Texas. And then this is what I'm very embarrassed about as well, but I would take that duffel bag and I would go to our restroom there in where we lived in Texas. And it was a little mobile home and I would set up my projector and the PlayStation in there and I would play games until 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning in our bathroom in our house. It was a serious addiction. It even came to the point where my mom busted me. She busted me and she was like, hey, you know, Marcus asked, he's like, what are we having for lunch on a Sunday? And my mom's like, Micah. I'm like, what are you talking about? What in the world? And I was like, what? And she goes, you've been online. I'm like, no, I haven't. Like, I started to lie because I was covering myself. I was covering that I really was online. I really was playing games. But little did I know, someone else in the church who I was friends with started showing that I was online. And so I lied myself out of it. I did. But where addiction just continual led me was just continually sinning, continue more and more and more. I could find that myself was colder in church. I'd start to lie to my parents. I wasn't connected as I should be in every part of the way. Addiction is a serious matter. Addiction is a very serious matter. Addiction is not easy to break either. I know it took a church conference to fully break me in embarrassment and for me to get over my pride. Addiction is a very serious matter. But the chain of addiction can describe the behaviors and experiences that take a person from their first interaction with a substance to the point where they have become dependent on it. So all of this I got from the Birmingham Recovery Center website. But you can also think of the chain of addiction as an escalating series of harmful events. A lot of this I'm going to kind of read because I did some copying and pasting. But when I started reading about this chain of addiction, I started picturing in my mind. I started picturing, you know, somebody, whether it's a druggie or what it might be, is chained to their addiction. Literally chained to their problem. I pictured some person sitting with no teeth, sitting to the side, chained to whether it be a bottle of alcohol, whether it be a thing of cigarettes, and no matter how much they try to get away from it, they would turn, and their addiction is still right there. Their addiction is still attached to them, and there was no way for them to get away from it because they were chained to their addiction. That's what I started picturing in my mind. But the Birmingham Recovery Center goes on to talk about how when you get to this point, to when it's classified as the chain of addiction, when you get to this point when you start to overuse and depend upon a substance. This substance can be legal, it could be illegal, it could be alcohol, you name it. It's just a substance that you can become addicted to. But after you have had that initial introduction to this substance, you start wanting more and more of it. And then when you get to this point, that's called addiction. When you get to the point where you feel like you need more and more of it, that is addiction. According to the Diagnostics and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, addiction is a cluster of cognitive, behavioral, and physiological symptoms. This refers to the negative impact that addiction can have on how a person thinks, on how they feel, and how they act. The priority group, and I'm going to another subject, so hang with me for a little bit. But the priority group lists several symptoms of addiction, and they have it broken down into three categories. The first category is psychological symptoms. This, you can have defensiveness, tiredness, agitation, poor judgment, diminished self-esteem and self-worth, and even there was way more listed. Another category was behavioral and social symptoms, secretive and dishonest behavior, withdrawing from responsibility and socializing, and even more. So I chose those because I had experienced those, as I already told y'all. Physical symptoms, lack of concern of personal hygiene and physical appearance, and disrupted sleep patterns. All of these are symptoms of addiction in three different categories. But immediately after following addiction, we come to two more different terms that I'm going to use. One is tolerance, and the other is withdrawal. Tolerance and withdrawal. When you become tolerant of a substance, we can go back to this drug addiction. You become tolerant of a drug, that means you've got to have more and more and more to get to the point of that feeling that you want. You have to have just a little more of that drug. You got to have just one more drink because last time the other drink didn't suffice as much as you had the other day. And so you've got to have more and more and more because your body has become tolerant of the old amount that you used to have, so to say. And the other term, withdrawal is when you've had so much of this substance and your body needs to have it. You are addicted. And you start to try to wean your body off of this addiction. Your body starts to have withdrawals. You can start having health withdrawals where you feel like you're going insane. You feel like you're losing your mind. Withdrawal means when you don't take the substance at all or the proper amount of the substance. You will have a withdrawal and your body will start to react negatively to not having that substance. All of this takes place when you establish an addiction. All of this takes place when you have an addiction. There's way more addictions than just what I said. Those are just physical, worldly addictions. But some of the addictions that I'm going to talk about here tonight, you take it and you place it into what you're dealing with, to your problem. But there's other problems. One addiction that is huge, and sometimes it's not dealt with. I know it's dealt with around here, but it's not dealt with is an addiction to pornography. That is serious in young men. It's serious in young ladies, whether you think it or not. But that is addiction you need to stray away from. You need to stay away from doing that. The Bible says all it's the lust of the eyes and it's the pride of life. You need to stay away from that, young people, because that addiction will slowly wear down and it'll eat you till you can't handle no more. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh God, we worship you, Jesus. There are others who struggle. We're just going to put in the category of worldly things. In 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There are others who can be addicted to feelings. They can be addicted to seeing things with their eyes. You fit the addiction that you know and that you face. An addiction is a terrible thing to have to deal with. It's hard to break, even in the spiritual world. Because even as I mentioned, when you get to it, you start to face the struggles of withdrawals on what you might be addicted to. You start to face the withdrawals of, oh, I need to have more of this. I need more of this kind of music because the church's music ain't sufficing. Oh, man, I just got to have more of what I was looking at the other day because I just got to have it. It's eating something inside of me. And this addiction is slowly wearing you out, slowly eating you away. You've got to be careful, young people. You've got to be careful, adults, because it's not subject to any certain age. In Jesus' name. You tell yourself, I'm going to get better. I'm going to do it slowly but surely. But I'm firsthand telling you it doesn't work like that. I'm telling you it does not. You can say, oh, you know, I'm just going to push it aside. We heard Pastor kind of preach about this the other night. But when you have your device, and you're sitting there, and I know I've got a history of looking at bad things on my device. I've got a history of pulling up things on Google that I shouldn't be. I've got a history of listening to music that I shouldn't be listening to. Oh, entertaining something that I shouldn't be. It's addiction. You cannot slowly just set your device aside and be like, I'll take care of it. In about a week, I'll be fine. Addiction doesn't work like that. Addiction don't work like that. You got to have to completely sever your relationship with that. I know it's kind of funny to mention a relationship with your phone, but if you've got problems that you can't fix, cut your phone off. It's like Pastor said, get a flip phone, fix the addiction, shut it off. If you're having problems with music, shut it off. Get rid of whatever that can be. Turn it away. Get rid of it. Turn it away. Jesus' name. Quitting starts to trigger these feelings in the mind, telling you to get back to your addiction. But you don't have to do that. If you can shut it off. You know, in the world, you have these alcoholics. They've got to go to that Alcoholics Anonymous, and they've got to admit that they're alcoholics. They've got to admit that they're having issues of drinking too much alcohol. By this time, it's already probably too late. They've probably destroyed their family, lost their marriage, done whatever. But it's coming to the point where they've got to face all these withdrawals. But I've come to tell you tonight, we're in the house of God. If you have an addiction, all you need to do is come to the altar. All you need to do is get prayed for. All you need to do is ask God, God, take this addiction away. Oh, God can do it in one night. He can do it right now. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I started pulling from some of the messages that I've heard in the past as well. There was this minister, I don't remember who it was, but he said that he gave some huge statistic on young men who are addicted to pornography. And there was even another minister, I remember this was Brother Rule. He came to Katy, Texas, and he pointed at every single one of the young men right in the front row. And he said, statistically, he goes, every single one of these young men have looked at pornography in their life. He goes, statistically. He goes, but they just don't know. He goes, you just don't know it. He goes, because they hide it. But statistically, it's like that. And I've heard other ministers preach that when you open that door the scars that come in onto your life, the scars that are going to eat you away, the scars that you're always going to have in your memory, the condemnation that the devil's going to try to hold on you. It's not good. It's not good. You need to protect yourself from this. Protect yourself, young people. Protect yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, let's lift our hands and Lord worship the Lord right now.
Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Oh, God. Oh, this isn't necessarily how I planned this out to go tonight. But even as we just started praying, I feel such a burden on my heart. I feel there's someone here, you're struggling with something. I can't pinpoint exactly out what you're struggling with, but there's an addiction you've got to break. You've got to break. You can't hold on to an addiction and expect to survive with the outcomes of it. It's like I was just saying, the Alcoholics Anonymous. Whenever they're there, they've got to be there and announce, but by that time, they're already there. They're already probably lost their marriage. They've damaged their kids. They've lost everything that they've had. They've lost their money. They've lost their home, whatever it is. And all just because of an addiction. An addiction. That's why I'm telling you, you need to break it off tonight. You need to break that addiction off tonight. If it takes an extreme measure, you need to break it off tonight. What's good is your stupid iPhone if it takes you to hell? What good is it if all you can do is just disobey what God wants you to do and it brings you down to the pits of hell? You got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be.
Oh, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Oh, what I'm talking about. What I'm meaning that you've got to get serious about it. When I'm meaning serious, I mean you can't take little steps. You can't take little steps. And that's why I brought in the story of Jacob. I know he wasn't dealing with an addiction, but he was dealing with another issue. His whole life, he was known as deceiver. A deceiver his whole life. From the minute he was born until this point right here was he known as a deceiver. In Genesis 32, he starts wrestling with an angel. Wrestling until the break of day. This shows me this problem that Jacob was dealing with was no minor little issue that he felt he could push away and be happy in a week later. This was no little issue that he could set aside and be like, you know, maybe I'll see you, angel, a week down the road, a year down the road, and I'll have my problem taken back. But this was how serious his problem was, that he wrestled unto the break of day. And even on top of that, the angel reached over and smote the hollow of his thigh out of joint. It was completely out of joint, and he still wrestled. He still wrestled. That's how serious this problem was with Jacob. He kept on fighting and persevering because he had to get his answer regardless what had happened. That's how I'm comparing this to with an addiction. You've been struggling with this so long. You've told yourself that you'll get rid of it. But unless you take serious measures like this, it's always going to follow you. You're always going to be chained to that addiction throughout your whole life. You're always going to be known as deceiver unless you sever that bondage to your addiction tonight.
Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
I'm not talking about a quick little 5 to 10 minutes in the altar. Anybody can come up here and speak in tongues and be happy. But when you break an addiction, it's getting down. It's beating the altar. It's beating the floor. It's getting rid of that addiction.
Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name.
Oh, let's stand here tonight. Let's keep praying here tonight. Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. Name. Oh God. Oh God, come on, let's pray. Let's pray. There's, oh Jesus' name.
You don't have to have that addiction follow you your whole life. You don't have to sit there and be chained to your addiction for the rest of your life. You have dwelt around this mountain long enough. This obstacle in your life is time to go. You have dwelt long enough.
Hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name.
Lord, 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 Lord.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, come on, that's it. That's it. I'm saying if you knew how serious your addiction was, you would take every measure to have that addiction broke tonight. You would come to the front. Who cares what everybody else is thinking? You would come up to the front and have pastor anoint you with oil. You'll do whatever it takes, no matter how goofy you looked. Break that addiction tonight.